Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Legian. I'm so grateful and excited to have Natalie Calkins Roundtree all the way from the USA as my special guest today. Natalie is a writer for Huffington Post, public speaker, blogger, sober and recovery coach. She is a beautiful and an intelligent woman. Hello, Natalie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Natalie, today you are a successful and an accomplished individual. I understand that your life didn't start out that way. I read your story a few months back and I was so moved and inspired by you. I want to say that you are a good mother and a great fighter. And I'm so glad you agreed to be on my show and share your story with us today. Can you kindly tell our listeners a little bit about your past, your struggle, and especially the epic battle you had fought and won?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, let me say thank you very much. I appreciate it. More than honored to be on your show and to speak to your listeners. I think we can all relate that we either have been with someone who has battled with an addiction, whether we have a family member or someone who is struggling with it now or may have in the past. It's getting all too familiar. Yeah. And more people are coming forward, coming out of the life of living in shame to help others. There's a lot more of us coming out to really help people from hiding in shame, because that is what does a lot more of the damage than anything.
Yeah.
And what happened with me is I had been addicted to alcohol for over 15 years of my life. I didn't recognize in the beginning where the pain came from, because I had a good childhood.
Yeah.
There was nothing traumatic in my childhood. It was pretty decent, raised by good parents and close family. So I really didn't understand at the time what drove me to the alcohol. It did turn out to be, years later, I realized the catapult really that pushed me over the edge was an abusive relationship. So what happens is I turn to alcohol, which, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
When things get tough, break up, break down, break out, whatever it may be. And little did I know that I would be one of those people that did not have the ability to say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that in me. So it eventually took over. It took over my life. Very destructive behavior. I had 3 DUIs. The last year of my drinking, Julia, I was miserable. I did not want to drink anymore. Actually, for quite a few years, I was in that position. But the last year was really, really tough. And I was terrified because I couldn't stop. No matter how many changes I tried to make, no matter, anything that the law throws at you is out the window. I mean, we find a way. That's just the truth of it. But the last year, I really, there was nothing that I could do that would stop me. And I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would find a way to recover on my own.
Yeah.
Because I had lied to so many people for so long that I wasn't in that position anymore, that I wasn't drinking anymore. And on May 8th, 2008, I was caught drunk driving with my daughter in the car. She was 8 years old at the time. I had a 0.2 blood alcohol content level, which is over 3 times the legal limit. That was the day. That was the day, Julia, that did it for me. And my biggest fear in my life, and she was 8 years old at the time, and my biggest fear for those 8 years was losing her to my addiction. And I worried about it, and I worried about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and eventually I did. Where I thought this was nothing that would ever happen, but that worry was there. But people don't understand when I say that was the best day and the worst day of my life. That was the day that woke me up. That was the day that got me sober. To me, there's no going lower than that. You know, I was the epitome of the worst mother in the world. And I had to acknowledge that. And I had to own that. And once I acknowledged it, once I owned it, I was able to say, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't who I am. Because it's not you. That's not who you are. When you're using drugs or alcohol, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
So I had to find a way to come back home, to come back me, to find myself and to push forward. And I did it with a lot of eagerness. We forget. We tend to forget who we are before pain sets in, before tragedy, before addiction, before what everybody else tells us that we are or who they think we should be. We start to forget who that person is. So it's so true when people say, get rid of everything that's bringing you down.
Yeah.
Anyone, anything, all the negativity, get rid of it. Mm. And I did it really almost alone for a long time. I mean, I went to group meetings and I did this and I did that. But as far as my friends and family, I didn't see a whole lot of people. And you got to build your strength. You have to believe in yourself and give yourself permission to love yourself.
That's the hardest thing to do, though, Natalie.
Yes, it was. I was ready to end my life, Julia. I was a couple days out of jail, and I had the bottle next to me, a bottle of pills, and I completely loathed myself. I felt worthless as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, as a human being in general. In my mind and in my heart, everyone would be better off without. And something beautiful happened that night, something so beautiful that I couldn't even put into words. Mm. But it hit me. My daughter does need me.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, she's going to be worse. She'll be worse off if I do this. It's kind of like I went through it's so hard to explain. I was able to see what her life would be like without me.
Yeah.
And really feel it. So in the beginning, I did it for her.
Yeah.
It was definitely for her. But slowly, it becomes more about yourself.
Yeah.
It just, when you walk, I couldn't hide in shame anymore. I couldn't walk with my head held low anymore. I couldn't show my daughter, the one who I've already let down so much, that her mother's going to hide in shame, that her mother's going to... I knew I had strength, and I had to show her that strength and prove to her that strength. And I wasn't going to get love from her when I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't going to get love from anybody. So really what I had to do was work on that forgiveness of myself. And that's the biggest thing that we have to do, is we have to learn that we're human. We're human. We're here to evolve. We're here to learn. We're here to love. We're here to grow. This, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. And mine was a great, huge, large mistake. But when we let the past go, when we allow ourselves to learn from it and grow from that and use that as a tool to help other people live with their imperfections and learn to love themselves, it's such a blessing.
Yeah. I cannot say that I know how you feel, but I have seen and I have witnessed some of my family members. They are still fighting the battle that you had won. So, you know, I really admire you for that. And the reason I said you're a good mother, because my father and some people that I know, they have children and they are not willing to fight and every single day put the kids on the car and drive under influence. We have 7 children in the family, and my father, you know, he used to put us in the car and he drove like a maniac because he was so drunk. He couldn't keep the car straight and he just zigzagged in and out of the highway. And here you are as a child. And you sat there and you close your eyes and hoping for the best. And you're also asking, why? Why did you do this? You know, like, why? Why couldn't you stop drinking?
Yes, that's a huge, huge thing that I want to help people understand, especially children of alcoholic parents or struggling with any addiction.
Yeah.
There's a huge misconception that we loved the alcohol or drugs more than our child. And I can tell you through 8 years of my daughter, 8 years of her life, the first 8 years, there is nothing or no one I love more than my child. I had protected her so much. I actually kept us in this little bubble almost. And it's so ironic that I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know. I tried everything, but it was the shame. It was the, I'm a terrible mom. How can I go to someone for help? How can I tell someone exactly what I'm doing? Because I was a closet drinker. I never went out. I did when I didn't have her, when her father had her on the weekends. every other weekend, but I stayed at home and I love to drink alone.
Right.
And I wanted to be with her, knowing she was safe, not wanting to leave her with a babysitter. And so you have all these, I hated myself for what I was doing. And I hated the fact that I couldn't stop. So there's a conflict inside. You're battling with your inner being.
Yeah, so it's really hard to say when you're not in the situation.
Right.
But my father, he's an alcoholic and he knows it, but he just, you know, refused to do anything about it. So whenever, you know, he or some of the family members been confronted with this issue, the typical answer would be, I just like drinking. You know, I'm not an addict. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's an excuse we all use for a long time.
Yeah,
just to keep to be able to keep doing it and keep our family at bay.
Yeah. So how can you tell an addict that he or she is actually an alcoholic or addicted to alcohol, Natalie? I mean,
you can tell them all they want; they already know.
Okay.
They already know.
Yeah.
You know, it's the denial. You know, we hide in denial, we hide in shame, and we hide in fear. And the fear is, how do I live without it?
Yeah.
We don't know how to live without it. It's the unknown. It's the fear of, am I ever going to be happy? Am I ever going to be able to tolerate things? Am I ever going to be able to smile? Am I ever going to be able to feel these feelings? What is it? What is it that makes you want to drink in the first place? Other than the physical addiction, What was the emotional trigger? What was it emotionally that drove you to want to numb yourself?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to look at that and work on that and work through that,
yeah.
And if you're not willing to step beyond that fear and even try to give sobriety a chance, nobody's going to be able to push you into it.
Yeah, that's true. So
for long anyway.
Yeah. So in that case, where can they go to get help, Natalie?
You know, there are so many recovery homes. When people ask me to where they can go for help, for me, I did meetings for a long time. And I will tell you, meetings saved my life.
Okay. Sometimes I try to tell my friends to go to AA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the typical question again would be, how does going to meeting help you to deal with your drinking and your problem? Do they have to commit to anything or do anything at the AA meeting?
No, you don't have to. You can just, I went in hating everybody.
Okay.
I went in hating everyone because they all had smiles on their faces, Julia, and I didn't know how to smile. I crawled in on my hands and knees and I was crying. I was sobbing like a baby the first week I was there. And I went once a week. I went once a day.
Yeah. And once a day.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I didn't know what else to do. That was my only option.
Wow.
And the companionship and the tools that I got from there really, really saved my life.
Yeah.
But I can also tell you that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, if you stop going to AA, you're at risk. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I believe that I would never suggest anyone to not go. I've moved on in a way. It's kind of like, okay, I feel like I've graduated. So I go sometimes, but not like I used to.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much as I used to. So for someone who's looking, if they have to go to intensive inpatient facility, there's a lot of work that needs to be done before you go into a facility. And you've really got to put your trust in the right people. Unfortunately, the recovery world has some dark sides to it too.
Mm.
And so that's very challenging. So you do have to do your research and get recommendations and find out everything that you can about their policies, if it's inpatient, what their processes are, so on and so forth, before you commit to one.
Yeah. What kind of dark sides are we talking about, Natalie?
Well, there's a lot of brokering going on over here in the States, patient brokering. And so you really want to be careful that you're not pulled into a facility or a rehab center that is not going to put in their best efforts and doesn't have your
best interest.
Best interest.
Wow, that is disgraceful. I mean,
it is.
I don't believe people taking advantage of, you know, these vulnerable souls.
Exactly.
Battling alcohol is bad enough already. Now you have to deal with all these greedy bastards too. Sorry for my language.
And it's so infuriating, especially the things that we go through when we are drinking.
Especially
women. I've been taken advantage of many times. Wow. I've been sexually assaulted. I've been through things that I don't remember, but I do recall sometimes. So there's a lot of things that happen when we're drinking and we're working to recover and we're working to get over things already. And then we're ready to surrender and put our lives over to something we don't even believe in yet.
Yeah.
And right out of the gate, we're hit with some people are hit with some very incredibly disgusting things.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening. And when I came out to help people in recovery and spread my story and share my message in hopes to inspire people, and I came across all this going on, it's just, at first I was just, it was so heartbroken and it's disturbing, but you have to keep pushing through because it's just even more validation that they need more of us out there.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get your daughter back?
It took me 6 years. I got full custody back.
Wow.
Yes, it took 6 years. But during that time, I did see her and have her. It was definitely stages.
Natalie, I read a survey not too long ago, and I'm totally shocked by what I have discovered. I can't believe how many of our children being exposed to alcohol. In the survey, it said 1 in 3 fifth and sixth graders, that's ages between 10 to 11, said that alcohol was available and easy to get. Now, approximately 10% of 9 to 10-year-olds have started drinking, and 1 in 3 begin drinking before the age of 13. By age 15, approximately 50% had at least one drink in their young life. So how important is it for parents to talk to their children about alcohol and drugs before they're even exposed to this kind of thing?
It's just as important as feeding your child every day.
Mm.
It is just as important. And, you know, with my daughter, I was forced into it, of course. Opening up that conversation and you know, but letting her know that I was sick and then I needed help. Mm-hmm. But really, thank God it happened to me and not her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now I've been able to open up those doors. We need to talk to our children all the time.
Yeah.
It's not just alcohol. It's marijuana. It's heroin. I mean, heroin is sweeping across this country like you wouldn't believe. We're losing kids and we're losing people way too often and way too young. And the thing is we think if we don't talk about it, it just won't be there.
Mm.
They're there.
Yeah.
If you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, somebody else is, and it's not going to be the conversation you want.
That's right. It's not going to be pretty.
It won't. And another thing is parents, and I see this a lot from personal experiences, a lot of parents keep alcohol in their home and they don't lock it up.
Yeah.
They don't lock it up.
Mm.
Kids will get curious. So alcohol, just because it's legal, doesn't mean you want your kids to have it.
Yeah, that's true. Natalie, you are really, truly is a wonderful living example that alcohol addiction is a curable disease. And you can move beyond your pain and also to choose to have a healthy life. I believe you are coaching and helping countless others to beat the addictions. Am I right?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us a little bit about your work?
Yeah, what I started was a program, Limitless, and it's actually just ending now. I've only got a couple more days in this one, but what I do is help women, this is exclusive to women only, to help them step out of the shame and the fear and the patterns of the limited thinking that they can't go out and do what they want and live how they want and love themselves and take care of themselves and deserve a good life. And we are who we surround ourselves with. We truly are. And my whole point is to create a positive space to really no bullshit. It's fun. It's really a lot of fun. And it's getting them to open up and talk and really figure out what was holding them back in the past. Why is it holding them back now? Where is it that they want to go? What do they want to do? And really helping them do what I'm doing. So it's been really fun. And I've grown throughout it too. It's amazing how we all lift each other up.
I guess everything starts within the mind, isn't it, Natalie?
100%. 100%. Yeah. Everything starts within the mind. So it's very, very, very important. I will be starting another one in September.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, and I'm going to take on a lot more women this time and just a few things because so many people, there were a lot of women that I couldn't take on last time. So I'm going to change things up and make it more affordable so that many more of us can get together.
Yeah, maybe I send a few of my family members to you too. You need to send me the information so I can put it on my website.
I absolutely will, Julia.
So, Natalie, before we go, what advice or encouragement can you give to our listeners today?
Go easy on yourself. Leave what's done. Leave what's in the past in the past. The best thing that you can do for yourself is to focus on today. Focus on this moment.
Yeah.
This moment and this moment only. And practice telling yourself good thoughts, good feeling thoughts about yourself every day.
Yeah.
Every day, start there. And it will change you. It will change your life. It will change who you are to the people who mean the most to you as well.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful advice, Natalie. And thank you so much for your time today. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you, Julia. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you all again next week. Bye for now.